years ahead of the dominant media. FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
What is Bible prophecy? Simply put, Bible prophecy is God-given history in advance. Please stay tuned. Your prophecy reality update is just ahead. Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. So please tell me my mic is not muted now. Thank you for that in the chat room. I need another notification there. Yay, he says. Okay, we're on our way. No echoes this week, hopefully. I can't promise anything. Okay, well, what are we going to talk about today? Well, I put out a small article, I think yesterday or the day before, and we're going to talk about that one. And that article was called The Seventh Vial, World Wars, and What Remains. So we'll talk about that and what prompted that. Also, Jesse sent me an article here about Nicaragua, and this is on Vatican News. Nicaragua bans Jesuits and confiscates all of their assets. I wouldn't exactly call it a trend that one nation contemporarily or has banned the Jesuits and confiscated all their assets, but it is something that I would like to see become a trend again, because it was a trend in the past. But things changed, and we've talked about this many times. And I had up on the screen here to open the show the Jesuit oath. And this is the oath that they take, and this was discovered during the 18th century, when almost every country of Western Europe was banning the Jesuits and kicking them out of their country because of what came to light through several lawsuits. And also, even the Pope, one of the popes himself, banned the order. Of course, that Pope died pretty quickly from, well, let's read about what he died from in the Jesuit oath. I furthermore promise and declare that I will, when opportunity present, make and wage relentless war, secretly or openly, against all heretics, Protestants, and liberals. Of course, Protestants are heretics according to them, and there are other heretics besides Protestants, but to them, a Protestant is a heretic. And liberals, so even liberal Catholics who would have compassion on their Protestant neighbors and maybe harbor them in the same way that during World War II there were those that harbored Jews in Germany. Yeah. So if you harbored or had compassion on Protestants because of their unjust treatment by the government, controlled, of course, by the Antichrist for 1260 years in Western Europe, well, then you would be exterminated too. So I'll read on here. Protestant against all heretics, Protestants, and liberals, as I am directed to do, to extirpate and exterminate them from the face of the whole earth, and that I will spare neither age, sex, or condition, and that I will hang, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics, rip up the stomachs and wounds of their women, and crush their infants' heads against the walls. And believe me, they have done this. In order to annihilate forever their execrable race, that when the same cannot be done openly, as today, I will secretly use the poison cup, the strangulating cord, the steel of the poignard, or the leaden bullet, regardless of the honor, rank, dignity, or authority of the person or persons, whatever may be their condition in life, either public or private, as I at any time may be directed to do so by any agent of the Pope or superior of the Brotherhood of the Holy Faith of the Society of Jesus. And the Society of Jesus is another name for the Jesuit order. The Jesuit order exposed, and I found this from prepareforchange.net. I don't know anything about them. I haven't looked over them. I was just looking at different articles, and I found this one acceptable. They are a secret order called by Adam Weishaupt, a Jesuit priest. They are a secret order created by the Jesuit order exposed, and I think he's speaking of not the Jesuit order, because the Jesuit order was not created by Adam Weishaupt, but it was the Illuminati, and I believe that's what he's talking about. So there's a quote here. They are a secret order created by Adam Weishaupt, a Jesuit priest. So when we talk about, the Illuminati, you're probably talking about one of the many religio-eco-political controlling arms of the Jesuits. See, they've been at it for a long time. And we're talking, this was written at the end of the 18th century, and that's the 1700s for all you public schooled out there, which is a secret society based on an ancient high pagan cult which infiltrated the Roman Church long ago, and in turn, most of the denominations of churchianity. Why do you think that the central obelisk shaped like the Washington Monument at the center of the Vatican Square was brought all the way from the center of Egyptian pagan worship and erected in the exact epicenter of the Vatican Square? The Jesuit is inwardly a devil. Another quote here. A monk, outwardly a monk and altogether a serpent. Ian Paisley. That's the great and famous Ian Paisley, member of the House of Parliament in Ireland. The Jesuit Illuminati. Contrary to popular belief, the Illuminati existed in Spain in the 1500s. The Illuminati did not have a revival and reconstructing in the 1700s. It did have, it says, a revival and restructuring in the 1700s through Adam Weishaupt, though. The second revival and restructure of the Illuminati came through Theodore de Rus in Munich and then in England. The Illuminati existed in Spain in the 1500s and was officially known in Spain as the Alumbrados, Spanish pronunciation, the Illuminated, in other words. The Alumbrados were known to be involved in mystical spiritual ideology, which is what the present Illuminati occult groups advertise themselves to be. All the Illuminati front groups that work as doorways to the Illuminati for new recruits. And it goes on about the Illuminati. And I was looking for something else. Not so much about the Illuminati, because we know it's just another arm of the Jesuit order, which is the very head of the shadow government that works for the Antichrist. Let's see. Ignatius of Loyola, while studying at Salamanca in 1527, was brought before an ecclesiastical commission on a charge of sympathy with the Alumbrados. So I guess maybe they're saying that this Alumbrados did exist before the Illuminati was understood to exist. That the Illuminati by Adam Weishaupt was just a revitalization and reorganization of something that pre-existed, perhaps. I don't know. According to Wikipedia, in 1527, Ignatius Loyola, who was a member of the Alumbrados, was questioned about his involvement with this group by the Vatican. Ignatius, who spoke directly to the Pope about his involvement with the Alumbrados and how he wanted to start up the Jesuit order to further the goals of the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope gave Ignatius his stamp of approval and allowed Ignatius Loyola to start up the Jesuit order, which would serve and eventually take over the Vatican. The Jesuit order now completely controls the Vatican, both in the shadows and outwardly. And I guess he's bringing it up to date. And since we have a Jesuit Pope and a Jesuit Black Pope now, we have both, our Jesuits, I believe that the Jesuits are in total control of the Vatican today. The Jesuit order now completely controls the Vatican, both in the shadows and outwardly, as the Jesuits have one of their own as the White Pope. According to other documentation, the members of the Alumbrados in 1500s were inspired and led by the teachings of a Roman Catholic cardinal, Cardinal de Cisneros. A cardinal is one of the highest ranks of the Roman Catholic Church, and they are one of the 70 Vatican officials who choose who the Pope will be. And anyway, and it goes on and on. A good article, and perhaps I'll put this link in the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net/chat. And that's also on our Mobi chat. It's the same one. And I'll put that link there if anyone's interested in checking out this article later. Let's see. Paste that there and send. Okay. Let me check out the chat room. Good to see, well, WW in the chat room and nobody else. Nobody today. Wow. I'm becoming more unpopular by the day. Yeah. No, I know all my, there are people listening. That not everybody, most working people are listening if they can at work. So, because some people can't even listen at work. They have to wait till after they get off work to listen to the broadcast. Okay. Anyway, I was looking for, and I thought I had a link here, but anyway, during the 1700s, the Illuminati got kicked out of numerous countries for their intrigue. And let's see, I had an article here, something. Oh, here it is. Suppression of the Jesuits. Among the repercussions of the controversy over Chinese rites was an intensification of the resentment directed against the Society of Jesus, to which some other movements mentioned also above contributed. Okay. Hostility. Okay, well, this is a Britannica article, so it's kind of weighted in the view of the Jesuits, but it does give us a few things. The Portuguese crown expelled the Jesuits in 1759. France made them illegal in 1764. Spain and the Kingdom of the Two Sicilies took other repressive actions in 1767. Opponents of the Society of Jesus achieved their greatest success when they took their case to Rome, although Pope Clement XIII, reigned from 1758 to 69, refused to act against the Jesuits, reportedly stating that they should be as they are or not be at all. His successor, Clement XIV, reigned 1769 to 74, whose election was urged by anti-Jesuit forces, issued a brief, Dominus Act Redemptor, Lord and Redeemer, which suppressed the society for the good of the church. Frederick II of Prussia and Empress Catherine II of Russia, one of them Protestant and the other Eastern Orthodox, were the only two monarchs who refused to promulgate the brief. In these lands and elsewhere, the Society of Jesus maintained a shadow existence until 1814. Note that they maintained a shadow existence everywhere, and their shadow existence grew after being banned. And of course, that Pope that banned them was killed by the poison cup because of the Jesuit oath, right? And he was replaced with a Pope who restored the order. A little more history for you there. See, when Pope Pius reigned 18 to 1823, restored it to full legal validity. Meanwhile, however, the suppression of the Jesuits has done serious damage to the missions and the education program of the church at the time, when both enterprises were under great pressure. And look at what their enterprises are. Their missions and educational program of the church at the time. And that has been the main mission of the Jesuits, is to take over education in order to control and propagate, well, their creed of extirpating heretics. And they learn from their suppression to stay below the radar, to have several layers of culpable deniability between them and the outcome of what they were propagating. So, being banned, and you can read about what the Jesuits, they were here in America doing their work. Yes, they were for the revolution because it would give Catholics liberty, because Catholics did not have liberty in America in just about every state of the Union. They were banned from office, and they were, you know, and they were not regarded highly at all because of what the papacy had done in Western Europe and all of the inquisitions and murders and genocides that were done at her hands, which, like we said, eventually got her kicked out of every country in Europe. But she continued to work behind the scenes. And if you read F. Tupper Saucy's book, Rulers of Evil, well, you can learn about what happened with the Jesuits around the time that the Constitution was developed in the United States, and what the con of the Constitution, the poison cup, figuratively speaking, the poison, the 1% poison that was put into the Constitution that has overthrown that Constitution and all the liberties that are attached to it to this day, has practically overthrown them, and especially being exercised, that overthrow being exercised today by the current, yes, Jesuit in Washington, D.C., in the White House, and in the deep state, or the deep state in Washington, D.C., and in America, many of the states and many of branches of governments and subsidiaries of government are controlled. If they are trying to teach your children to transgender, you know the Jesuits are there, or at least agents acting for them, or agents of agents acting for them. Like I said, the layers go as deep as you can imagine them, to cover where all of this is truly coming from. And that's why there's so much confusion today, because the Jesuits have done a wonderful job. I mean, we could admire how well they have done their job without showing their cards openly to the world. They have learned much from history. They never wanted to be banned, but apparently, I've read the scripture, and there are several things that we're going to talk about today which show that their deeds will be outed, and they will be outed, and punishment is coming for them. And perhaps it begins today. I have an article here, and I thank Jesse for sending this to me. Nicaragua bans Jesuits and confiscates all of their assets. Something that hasn't happened, as far as I know, for more than 100 years, since the 18th century. No one's banned the Jesuits and confiscated their assets because of the way that they've worked. They've continued to do their work better, more efficiently than ever before over the last 150 years. And they've done it so well and so thoroughly that they've gotten away with so much. Even getting into the Protestant, now evangelical. You notice they don't call themselves Protestant. Even among evangelicals, Protestant is kind of like a byword, a dirty word that very few of them want to use. How dare you be a protestant? What are you protesting against? Don't you know that the Pope, on the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, stood in a Protestant church in Germany and declared to the congregation on that day that the protest was over? Yeah, look it up for yourself. Pope Francis himself stood in a Protestant church in the town where Martin Luther, the Lutheran church in that town, and declared to the applause of all but a few that the protest was over on that day, and celebrated the Protestant Reformation being over. Yes, indeed. So anyway, we have Nicaragua, and we have a small country in South America kicking out the Jesuits. And like I said, I can only hope that it's the beginning of a trend. We need them kicked out of Washington, D.C. As a matter of fact, well, they run Washington, D.C., and their headquarters is a Jesuit university. Yes. Right there in Washington, D.C. The very one that produced the Patriot Act after 9/11. Yes, and probably many other acts of Congress that weren't read before they were passed by the Congress, that it doesn't do their job today. Okay. Let me see. We got any comments, questions? Let's see. No, you sent the email an hour early, so the subsequent, I don't know, maybe modern technology. Okay, well, I don't know what that means. You says he's here, whoever you is, in the chat room over here. We have Sola Scriptura just joining us over here, and Barbara Semenak over there in the YouTube chat room. So I think we should all pray for the Jesuit order to be outed. And since it seems that prophecy is on our side, because there is one thing that has yet left to be done. Well, there are several things that have yet left to be done in prophecy before the consummation, before Christ returns. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next segment. So we're going to go on a break here. We'll be back in a few minutes. While we're gone, share the broadcast with a friend, subscribe to my blog, like, and give a thumbs up, and share the video. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, CROSS, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, CROSS, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
Well, that was the wrong introduction music, but at least it worked. We'd fix that later. You're listening to Cross Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And I put a link into the chat rooms there for this book, The Abraham Accord. And I'd like you to, you have my permission to share this book freely with anyone. It's a 99-page PDF. And if you haven't read it yourself, which probably most of you have, when you get to any place, because I wrote this for dispensationalists, so anywhere anyone's talking about the rapture, you know, post a link to this, like a lot of YouTube videos, or your friends, give them a link if they're still waiting for a rapture. Your secret pre-tribulation rapture is not, I don't define the resurrection. And the rapture is the same thing. The rapture is a fallacy, whereas the resurrection is the second coming of Christ. When he comes, that's when the resurrection happens. The first resurrection of Revelation 20 happens. It's the only resurrection of Revelation 20. As a matter of fact, there are only two resurrections spoken of in the scripture. And so they have a third one, and which they have conjectured from scripture. So it's not really there. But feel free to share that with everyone. I don't make any money when you give it away free or when I give it away free, but I believe it's important to shake up the delusion and, you know, disabuse people of the idea of a secret rapture that is, was only invented to vindicate the man of sin, the papacy, from its rightful place as the biblical and historical Antichrist. That is the whole reason that it was, developed in the first place and then built upon over centuries to become what it is today. That is dispensational futurism with its attendant pre-tribulation rapture during the 70th week of Daniel, which cannot be the 70th week because actually there was a week that followed the 69th and it was not called 71. It was called 70 because 70 always follows 69. It's called math, and math never lies, and neither does the Word of God. Okay, I have this article here. It wrote, The Seventh Vial, World Wars, and What Remains. So I'm looking for anyone's got any questions or comments on this. Please put them in the chat room. It's very helpful for me to get a little input from the listeners out here, especially if you have the time. Let's see. Sola Scriptura, grace and peace in our Lord. Thank you for that, Sola Scriptura 21. And Nicholas, will you share thoughts on Maui and Jesuit involvement? Maybe you already have. Thank you. I haven't said anything about Maui. There's a lot going on and being said about Maui by David Knight and others during the day on First Amendment Radio. And I like to not regurgitate what others are already doing very adequately. I want to try to stick to stories that are, you know, that are more closely connected with the Bible. And that's why I've kind of gotten away from commenting on a lot of news, but I still can comment on them. And certainly the Jesuits are involved somewhere. If there's anything awry going on in Maui, which there obviously is because of some things that were done with the laws and about that land there before it all burned up, it's a very suspicious thing. So I agree with that. And if you've been listening to David Knight over the last few days and others, many, and maybe Stu Peters said something about it, and we'll see what comes out, and hopefully the truth will come out, and it will be just another part of, if people will dig deep enough and uncover enough layers to root out the Jesuit influence and all of these things that are going on all over the world and around the world, maybe, you know, we can help to out the great whore and her shadow government so that, and the prophecy will be fulfilled anyway, but we'll talk about that. Let's see. Anything else? Okay. You're welcome. 5-second data noise. Okay. Well, I didn't hear any 5-second data noise. I did hear a few pauses, but they were relatively small. So actually, everything seems to be working really well today. Especially compared to last week. So maybe I'm figuring this out. Okay, the seventh vial, world wars, and what remains. Did the seventh vial begin with a 40-year upheaval of the European nations encompassing the era, including World Wars I and II? What do you think? Could it have been the seventh vial being poured out, beginning to be poured out, because none of the vials are poured out one day and it all happens. According to dispensational futurism, that's how things happen, because they got to squeeze all of the seals, all of the trumpets, and all of the vials into 3.5 years. So, my goodness, with all the death and destruction, the bodies are going to be stacked up. People will be walking on bodies. They won't have time to do anything else since all that's going to happen in 3.5 years. It's just kind of absurd. So that's it. During which period, let's go with it. Let's consider the idea that the seventh vial began to be poured out with a 40-year period upheaval in the European nations, encompassing the eras of World War I and II, during which period we find the healing of the head wound to the Vatican, because the Vatican is the head, okay, that was wounded, because the Vatican at Rome, and Rome was the head, and Rome was the head of the Vatican at that time. So that's why we point to the Vatican, because it did rule for 1260 years, as the scripture prophesied that it would, and it did, and then it did receive that wounding by the sword, as the scripture expressly states. Okay? But since the opening of the period of World War I and World War II, I'd just like to say it's a 40-year period. You go, say, shortly before World War I and what, however far, 40 years. But within that 40-year period, we had World War I begin. We had 1929, the head wound to the Vatican being healed, and its presence as an independent city-state among the powers of the world, and the establishment of the image of the beast in the form of the United Nations. Okay? I believe that the United Nations is the prophesied image of the beast. Because what was the beast? Well, it was a conglomeration of the nations, or it was a division of the nations, not really nations, because what did John write in 95-96 AD when he wrote the Revelation? That the ten horns had received no power as yet. So those ten horns represented mere divisions if they had received no power as yet. If they had received no kingdoms as yet, they remained as mere divisions of the locality. They were even mentioned in Daniel centuries before the Revelation was written. They were mentioned. So at that time, they had no kingdom then. If they had no kingdom as yet in 95 AD, they had certainly had no kingdom on that beast when Daniel wrote about them. Of course, Daniel wrote about the ten-horned beast before it appeared, because his writing of it was prescient. Whatever John says about it, at least he knows the ten-horned beast exists, okay? But he said the horns had received, those ten divisions had received no kingdom as yet, so they only remain divisions of potential kingdoms. And they remain always divisions, regardless of the rising and falling and changing of borders within that era. Because a lot of people argue, well, they were not just ten kingdoms, this and that, but the divisions were noted before the kingdoms rose up. So there were ten notable kingdoms throughout the whole period after which the ten horns rose up. And of course, we have the early church fathers, which stated from Irenaeus and several others following or along with him, which stated what they learned from Paul about the man of sin rising. And I believe it's when Paul said, "Remember what I told you when I was with you." Something he wasn't stating in the text for a very good reason, because the church had enough persecution. If he had stated that the Antichrist would rise up when Rome is divided into ten kingdoms, well, that would not have been taken very kindly by Imperial Rome, by the Caesars and the rulers of Rome. Dividing their kingdom up, that would have been propagating a destruction of the Roman Empire. And so you can see there was a reason. So when we look for, well, what is the secret? What did he tell them that he's not telling us? But we'll go along with what he actually does write. And that's what the early church fathers got by word of mouth. And they wrote, even before it happened, that when the Roman Empire was divided into ten kingdoms, then the man of sin, who we call the Antichrist, would be revealed, according to Paul's prophecy in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Yeah, they wrote it before it happened. And that was the information that they had from Paul all the way back that was carried on by word of mouth, apparently, so that they could write about it in the second century. So, I'm going to go with the first century Christians, and I'm going to say that this is the word of mouth, this is what they received from, and it goes along with, while you have the dispensationalists still prophesying revived Roman Empire or something or anything, it's going to divide the whole world into 10 districts, and then when you see that, they're going. But no, the early church father says, when the let that is taken out of the way, they identified the let that was taken out of the way would be Imperial Rome, the Rome of the Caesars, a Rome ruled by one, a united Rome. When it was divided into 10 kingdoms, then the man of sin would be revealed. And he was. And he quickly established Rome again under the Vatican with those 10, ruling over those 10 divisions until one of those divisions fell away as prophesied by the scripture, as interpreted to us by E.B. Eliot, a tenth of the kingdom fell away, being the British Isles, which did fall away, for whatever reasons. It doesn't matter, but it did happen. So, we come to 1940. So the United Nations is an image of the Roman Empire and its rule over the 10 divisions. But now we have the whole world today in this new image. And in the new world order, in the new world, the United Nations. And it is a construct, this image of the beast, the United Nations, is a construct through which Rome, papal, with its shadow government, can rule the whole earth, and it does. And they demonstrated that in 2000 by lockstep, moving the whole world into the plandemic. I mean pandemic, sorry. Into a pandemic. That is the evidence, because everyone's going, how did that happen? How is it that every nation on earth moved at the same time into the same tyranny? It was by the who? Who? The WHO. The WHO is an arm of who? The United Nations, the image of the beast. A lot of who's going on here, huh? So, moving on. The established, during which period we find the healing of the head wound to the Vatican, 1929, establishing its presence as an independent city-state among the powers of the world, gaining an overseer status. It is the Holy See of the United Nations, an official position in the United Nations, different than all the other nations, observer status. What would you expect for the Holy See? What other kind of status would it see? What is an observer status? It's an overseer. Yeah, think about it. Observer status in the United Nations. The only independent power with observer status in the United Nations. All comprehending a period with conflagration. I've been really messing up that word. Conflagration. Meaning wars, destruction, death, confusion, conflagration, all comprehending a period of conflagration, I believe to rise to the standard of the seventh vial's figurative earthquake. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Very interesting, the wording of this quote from the scripture. And the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. It seems to me that the cities of the nations fall as a result of the great city, and of course the great city is the one that rules over the kingdoms of the whole earth, as the scripture says. It is the great city. It's not the holy city. It's not the city of God. It is the great city. It is Rome. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And the more I consider it, and the more I watch it, I believe that my article, and if you scroll up, if you're following along with me at my website on this article that I sent out a couple days ago, which we're in the middle of, if you scroll all the way to the top of the homepage, because the second article down, you have to go to the homepage or you don't get these links. But if you scroll all the way up to the top, you'll see at the very top in the center, there's an article called The Empire of the City, The Unholy Trinity That Rules the World. And even if you're not on the homepage, you'll see it in the trending now in the link here at the top. Still always has been and likely always will be the most visited article on my webpage, since it's always or most always trending. So if I click on that, I'm going to open it up in a, let me try it here. Open in new tab. There we go. And you open up that article and you'll see right here, that's what I have here. And the great city was divided into three parts and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came into remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And my proposition, which cannot be excluded by scripture, which you have to go, that's interesting. It could be. Because scripture doesn't exclude it. That the great city has three, is now three capitals around the world. Of course, we have the Vatican, which you'll see on the far right, with its obelisk in Rome. Okay, which is the headquarters, it's the head wounded. Okay. And also, we also have another obelisk here in Washington, D.C., another city of the city of the empire of the city. And that's why I tell people all the time to read F. Tupper Saucy's book, Rulers of Evil. And so if we go right up here, there's a tab right in the middle up here. If I can get to the top, you can't see it. But right above that article, there's a tab that says Bible Study. And if you open up that tab and you scroll down to where it says Links, you'll find one that says Rulers of Evil, F. Tupper Saucy. And that's where you'll find the book. Now, let me venture a call here. Your name and where are you calling from? Well, nothing ventured, nothing gained. So anyway, make sure you do that. Rulers of Evil, if you click on it, you'll see the book Rulers of Evil. The PDF will come up. It does work. There it is. So we go back to, let's see. Oh, yeah, here we were. So let's, oh, yes. Let me see if I can get back to where I was. Oh, yeah, here it is. So, yeah, if you scroll down. And yes, the Vatican is the city of the empire of the city. You could just as well say the empire of the Vatican. Through this tripartite division, she fulfills every criterion of the revelation to qualify as Mystery Babylon. You also notice that the city is singular in all instances. This is more an indication of proof with the contemporary use of the description, the empire of the city. Therefore, we have three locations, if not the entire world, to fulfill all of the grandeur, evil, and catastrophe applied to the city, Mystery Babylon. Little explanation is necessary when the required criteria are applied to the tripartite administrated New World social economic order of the woman that rides the beast. It would be impossible to apply all of these points to any one particular nation, even the United States of America. And the article goes on, and I suggest that you do check it out if you haven't read it yet. Share it with everybody you know, and share today's broadcast with everyone you know. So we go back to our article here, where I left off. And the great city was divided into three parts. She divided her power into three parts. And of course, the first part is the Vatican itself, the spiritual and temporal head of that rules the world for the Antichrist. It's where it all, that is the head. And then you have the financial city division, which is the financial district of London, London Financial, a separate city state. The second one. And then the third one, of course, Washington, D.C., the third city state. And like I said, read F. Tupper Saucer's Rulers of Evil. And he helps to establish the fact that that city was created by the Jesuits. And there's no doubt in my mind, especially we have history to show that that is the most likely truth that you can find. So I go on in my article here that I published a few days ago. I can only pray that there is not another more notable and worldwide upheaval worse than the aforementioned, speaking of the 40-year era of World War I and World War II. And I do pray that. I hope and I pray that there is not another more notable and worldwide upheaval worse than the aforementioned, so that the opening of the seventh vial would be yet future. Yes, I'm hoping that, yeah, that was it. I'm hoping that was the conflagration that obviously was worse than anything the world has ever seen before, in that it encompassed the whole world, in the death and destruction, the redrawing of nations and lines, and all of that. Even Israel came out of that, the reestablishment of Israel. Came out of that after World War II. And so a lot of things happened in prophecy. A lot of things aligned in that period, in that 40-year period. Okay, so, but I can only pray, because a lot of people say, oh no, it's going to be something worse. The kings of the East still haven't visited their judgment, or God's judgment on that they're supposed to visit on Western Europe. And that's true, they haven't. But I'm hoping that that will not be as bad as World War I and World War II. God, I pray for that, that it will, there will not be a worse conflagration than what we had in the past century of that era, which in which so many things were fulfilled of prophecy, numerous things were fulfilled of prophecy. I believe, but I'm saying I could be wrong. There could be a worse conflagration coming up. But I hope and pray that there is not. I hope and pray that the kings of the East and their assignment in Western Europe, which will affect the whole world, will be much more limited than that. Okay, I heard the tone. Everything's working right. And we're coming up on a break. So get ready for the wrong music, I guess. Oh no, the music. You're just right this time. Okay, so I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Oh yeah, we have some news too.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Ah, welcome back. Okay, we left off. I can only pray that there is not another more notable and worldwide upheaval worse than the World War I, World War II era mentioned before, so that the opening of the seventh file would be yet future. I hope that we're well into the seventh file, in other words, and that we've already been through that earthquake that was greater than any other earthquake, figuratively speaking, since the world began. Because we really have to admit that that era was pretty bad. It involved the whole world, twice engaging. There was a cooling off period in between, but nonetheless, and millions upon millions of people slaughtered, and killed in every way imaginable. So we'll leave it up to Scripture, I hope. Okay. So this understood, there are two signal events remaining before the consummation. One, that of the woe of the kings of the East to Western Europe, a punishment yet due. And perhaps consequently, number two, the punishment upon Great Babylon, which is further outlined in the next chapter. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And of course, we're all watching it heat up over there in Western Europe right now, that our Jesuit procurator here in America, has kindled a flame that has driven both Russia and China together, the kings to the east of the ten-horned beast power of those 10 divisions representing Western Europe, from the British Isles down to, you know, the Mediterranean and Spain, the whole of Western Europe. What do we have to the east of Western Europe? Well, we have Russia and China. You know, perhaps Russia is north of Israel, so a lot of prophecy pundits, when they think, oh, well, Russia's the king of the north. But not in the prophecy we're talking about. It is the kings, plural, of the east. And of the east, in historicism, is east of the ten-horned beast power locality and its 10 divisions, the kings of the east. The fires are being stoked right now, driving these kings of the east together. A terrible combination, a very frightful combination, especially on Western Europe. And right now, they are openly threatening, especially Western Europe, and especially the British Isles, or the UK, as we call it today, and even threatening America with nukes, joining hands with another, Kim Jong-un, whatever, of North Korea. So there are three kings of the East. The kings doesn't mean just two. It could mean three. And I think America, which was bruised barely during the last 40-year conflagration that involved the whole world, okay, by having Hawaii bombed, okay, so America, its locality was bruised. I think we're gonna, America, if from the kings of the East, when they come together, I think that they are going to maybe severely, at least severely, bruise America. Because they have nuclear bombs and they are threatening, have been threatening, to nuke us, to nuke America. And it's frightening, especially for the rapturists. They la 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 la. They don't want to hear any of that. I believe in the rapture. I won't be here when that happens. I'm sorry. You've been taught a lie. And the lie is this. Despite what the scripture says, when John wrote it in 95-96 A.D., and he said, and he wrote, the things which must shortly come to pass, of course, as to their commencement, because some of those things were obviously way off in the future. Okay? So the preterists can't get away with saying, well, it all happened in 70 A.D., before the Bible was, before the Revelation was even written. No. Because some of those things, then you have the partial, I believe the partial, there are partial preterists who still believe in chapter 20 and 21, it's all future, when Christ returns someday. There are those partial preterists, we call them nouveau preterists, I guess. They save something for the future, yeah. But the full preterists, yeah, they have everything, the entire Revelation happening, but since the Revelation wasn't even written until 95-96 A.D., now that could have happened. But I'm in agreement. See, I'm not a preterist, all you dispensational futurists out there. I'm not a preterist. But I do believe that what the scripture explicitly states, and you can't get away from it in any way. I've heard it glossed over and ignored, mostly ignored, because who wants to talk about it? When John wrote that the things, that those future things would begin immediately or must shortly come to pass as to their commencement. Because some things would happen immediately and some things were further off in the future. But all of the things that were written would fill up that gap between the immediacy of the first seal, because it was first, so it must happen immediately. And guess what? It did. And the Christians of the day found themselves in prophecy. But what the futurists will tell you, they won't tell you anything about that. They don't want you to focus on the history and how the early church found itself in the prophecy. Yes, this is the first seal. This is the second seal. We're in it. Here's the third and fourth seal. There are the four horsemen of the apocalypse, representing the pagan Rome era before it fell to Christianity and became a Christian nation. After which, when it apostatized, it was divided into 10 kingdoms, and the Antichrist rose up just as they expected. They'll never tell you that, but it's all there written in history for you by many commentators of the day, and how there were commentators through history who identified their position between the must shortly come to pass first seal to the very day that we're in. And I'm one of those who's proclaiming the very day that we're in. That's why I'm saying that I think it's likely that the seventh seal opened with World War I and World War II, with that era. And that I'm praying that there is not a worse conflagration, firestorm that engulfs the whole world, okay, coming up in the future for us. Now, there will be the Battle of Armageddon, but that seems somewhat local, because they're going to gather together. And that's what I want to talk about. That's what prompted a lot of what I want to talk about today. Is I was watching, I keep my eye on other people. But let me finish this here first. Okay. These two things. That of the woe of the kings of the East to Western Europe, a punishment yet due, and perhaps consequently, too, the punishment upon Great Babylon, which is further outlined in the next chapter. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. The stage seems now set for the nations to the east of the apocalyptic 10-horned beast locality, primarily Russia and China, to be that impending woe, whether preceding, concurrent, or following the punishment of the great whore, only time will tell. And think about that. How is the punishment of the whore going to come? Will it come first? Will it precede? But she is the main instigator, stoking the fires and pushing Russia and China together. Because believe me, even though Vladimir Putin may be genuinely a nationalist Russian and an Orthodox Christian trying to save his nation from woke ideology and the New World Order, China is not. China is the very epitome and culmination, the pinnacle of Jesuit work. Yeah. China being depicted as a dragon shows you where her power is from. The same place that the ten-horned earth beast with its man of sin got its power from, the dragon. These several points of prophecy must come to pass before the great day of God Almighty and the Battle of Armageddon. It is, however, not so far off that some in this generation will see all of these events come to pass. I hope to be one of them. I hope I can live long enough. God grant me the strength, because I would rather be out here doing this and shouting it from the rooftop, at least the highest rooftop I can find, and that's right here where I'm at. Yes, it's as high as I could get. Yeah, to the world. Anyway, and I look at a lot of things. Like I was, I'm on several lists, and I saw this come up from, who is it? It says, we talked today to, oh yeah, Pete Garcia, big, famous talker in, the Revelation 3:10 pre-trib rapture movement. Yeah. This guy's very famous there. People, I mean, he does a video, and what do you get? 4 days ago, he's already got 3,400 views. And all of his videos are like that. I'm lucky if I get 300 views in a week. Talk about shadow banning. They've been shadow banning me since 2008. And it never lets up. Yes. The Jesuits cannot afford to let this truth get out. And they control all the money. I mean, how could the Antichrist do what is predicted of him if he doesn't control all the money? And they do. And they control who retains wealth, not who makes wealth, because a lot wealth can spring up anywhere. Innovation can come and people can get famous and rich quickly with the freedoms that we have in America, the freedoms that the Antichrist hates. But they take control of those fortunes quickly as they can. And within a generation, they will have those fortunes in their hands. That's why you see no great fortunes in Protestantism. You see no opposing great fortunes that are opposed to the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age that is controlled by money and that kind of worldly and temporal power, because they can't hold on to it. Because within a generation, they take over all wealth and they accumulate it to themselves. That's why money is not an object to them. They have it all. And if they don't have it all, they will get it all very soon. And they love new wealth springing up because they can, you know, with their greedy eyes and hands and their insatiable lust for power and the wealth and strength of the souls of men and the labors of men, to rip that labor off and monetize it for themselves is part of their object. It's spelled out in their instructions how to do it, and they did it. And of course, they've been refining and reworking those instructions as time has gone on, and we see the results today. So, as you can see on the video here, I got halfway through it, listening to it. I might have jumped a little bit, but always the same thing. But they do talk about current events, and it's very tintillating, because they go, this guy is so much in touch with what's going on in the world. And then they couch it in terms of the pre-tribulation rapture and how they won't be here. I love the title, Can You Survive After the Rapture? And this isn't on Pete Garcia's website, because he would have already, if I put it on his site, he would have already deleted my comments. But this is on the Two Pros website that were interviewing him. And they did not delete my comments, but they engaged me. And that's what I love to do, to find those few people that will engage me. So I wrote this, a comment. If there is no secret pre-trib rapture, if the speculation is not true, for speculation is all that it is, then this will apply to the one and only resurrection event when Jesus does return to rule the earth for 1,000 years. Because they're talking about what's going to happen after the rapture, but before Jesus returns. But there's only one resurrection. And there's no secret rapture. Better keep it a secret. Anyway, so what they were talking about, a lot of things they were talking about are going to happen when Jesus returns, but not during a pre-trib 7-year period. Okay? That's the part they're missing. They think they're not going to be here. And they won't be here. They'll, of course, we'll be with Christ. If they're true Christians, they'll be with Christ, with us, when Jesus returns and we're resurrected, not raptured. And that's the difference to me between the resurrection and the rapture. Okay? So I say, if the speculation is true, for speculation is all... if there's no secret pre-trib rapture, if the speculation is not true, for speculation is all that it is, then this will apply, what they were talking about, what we agree upon, will apply to the one and only resurrection event when Jesus does return to rule the earth for 1,000 years with his saints, who will join him in the air and return with him immediately. There's nobody, Christ is not going to do a U-turn with us and go, we're going, I'll go back to heaven. There's no U-turn in the Bible anywhere for Jesus. There's just a U-turn for us because he's raising us from the dead to meet him in the air with, and he's changing those that are still remain on the earth to meet him and the dead in the air because we are being resurrected to the air to meet him when he returns so that we can be with him when he returns. There's nothing about us doing or him doing a U-turn and taking us to heaven. That's a total complete conjecture and construct. Nowhere is anything like that expressed anywhere in the scripture, that we go to heaven and Jesus does a U-turn after he raptures us to return 7 years later or 3.5 or whatever it is. Okay. And this guy, Pete Garcia, the famous speaker guy that everybody's listening to today, he's now introducing that after the before the rapture, that the tribulation could be longer than 7 years, because it's obviously we're entering into a great tribulation period already and they're not raptured. So they have to adjust their view. So he's saying, well, I don't know if the tribulation could, but see, it kind of messes up everything for them, but they don't talk about that. But if you listen to him, that's kind of what he's starting to allude to now, that, the rapture, that the great tribulation period might be longer than 10 years, because it obviously there's a period of great tribulation beginning right now. Okay. So I tell this guy, I say, we'll meet him in the air and return with him. Then the governments of the world will continue to brainwash the remaining populace into classifying Jesus as an alien imposter. Do you think the government would do something like that? Do you think that they would actually brainwash the people into believing a lie instead of telling them the truth about who Jesus is? Maybe they'll refer back to, say, a few movies that there have been. There was a Star Trek episode where this woman, she went to this planet and she decided that they had a belief about some messianic goddess that would appear at some time in the future. So she decided to, you know, be an imposter of what they believed in. You've seen that Star Trek episode, right? That's all it made me think about is, yeah, we've seen this movie before. So when the government of the world will continue to brainwash. And I say continue to brainwash because most people are brainwashed already. Look, how many billions were brainwashed into taking a jab? How many people have been brainwashed and continue? That's what astounds me. That people are continuing to believe, despite what their eyes say. Forget what your eyes say. Forget what you see with your own eyes and believe a lie. That's great delusion. It is not the great delusion, but that is great delusion. There is great delusion today. So they will continue to brainwash remaining populace into classifying Jesus as an alien imposter. Then none of that was true. This is just an alien. And he's body snatched all these people that you see with him, all your neighbors, and we need to fight them before they body snatch us too. Things like that. That's the kind of things that they're going to try to get people to believe after Jesus comes and catches us up in the resurrection and we appear with him as glorified saints with our forever glorified bodies like Jesus's body and our resurrected bodies for the millennium. Okay. And forever. So they'll brainwash the people into classifying Jesus as an alien imposter and his company as an alien threat to the planet. They will counsel together to overthrow Jesus. Meanwhile, Jesus will have given them words, or perhaps he considers his word that he has already given enough notice. What do you think? What did Jesus say in his parable, in his story about Lazarus and the rich man. Oh, Abraham said, yeah, to the rich man who was burning in hell. When he said, please send Lazarus to tell my, and he said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Does Jesus even need to talk to the nations? Perhaps they'll send an emissary over to talk to Jesus. And Jesus will point to the Bible and say, I wrote it all in the book. Read the book. Right? Something like that. Or he'll send an emissary out to the nations or whatever. Or prophets will come up out of those who missed the resurrection and prophesy. Anything could happen. And then you have the Jews in the Holy Land prophesied, obviously, to be there. Although I don't really see it. A lot of people see it. And I'm not saying I'm right and they're wrong. I'm saying I just haven't looked into that so much yet as to make up my mind. But they're there in the land. What do I need to, you know, why do I need to verify from Scripture anything about what's already happened? That there are Jews there. What's going to happen to them? Are many of their eyes going to be opened when Jesus appears and all of his saints are caught up to meet him and he returns to where? The Valley of Megiddo with them? Or to the Megiddo Mountains? To whatever? I'm sure Jesus has the power to set up whatever facilities we need where we're at, when, if we even need any facilities. But I'm sure that we'll have some facilities because we're going to have, as I write here, as they're counseling together to overthrow Jesus and his resurrected saints. Meanwhile, the saints who will fear nothing, we're not going to be worried about what's going on in the world. We will be completely at peace because we will be on the earth, but we will not be in the world or of the world as we are in the world, but not of the world now. Yes, we are in the world, but not of the world now. Then when Jesus comes, we will be on the earth, but not of the world, because we will be with Jesus. But the rest of the world will still be there. And there will still, the gospel will be still, I'm sure that there will be gospel preachers. And perhaps the Jews on the earth during, and I'm positing, I'm speculating that it will be a 7-year period when Jesus returns until the time of the battle of the Armageddon when it is all done. It may be longer than that. It may be a 40-year period. I don't know. That part is not written. And neither is it written that we go to heaven for the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper of the Lamb is on the earth. There's nothing taking it off the earth. Wherever you read about it, it's on the earth. You can't place it anywhere else. Try it. Show it to me if you want to believe that. But that's what all the dispensationalists believe, because they have to believe it, because they believe that there's a 70th week of Daniel that was skipped. You know, it went immediately from 69. Jesus appeared at the Jordan River baptism. 3.5 years later, in the middle of the next 7-year period, he was crucified and put an end to the sacrifice. 3.5 years after that, the gospel goes to the Gentiles because the time determined is up. But they believe that week didn't happen then. And there's my music. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a Prophecy Reality Edition.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the Scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a Third Temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. Yes. I got the wrong music in there. Some of the music, I think that's what WW over in the chat room was commenting on. He says it sounds like 1999. And the music that I was using is from a song called Not of This World. And the lyrics are, "We are strangers, we are aliens, we are not of this world." And that was by Petra back in the last century. So, yeah, the music's a little dated, but I thought I'd change it up anyway because I was using something else that was called Exodus, which was the only musical piece before. I thought I'd change it anyway. So yeah, it's a little bit dated, I guess, but I love the song, and I really liked a lot of things that Petra did because all of their lyrics are so biblically correct, and I love that when things get biblically correct. So that's one thing I admired about the band Petra from the last century. Yeah, I'm an old, old man. Anyway, anything else? Is the remaining guy newly resurrected and right at that moment? How can you tell if you're the guy standing together, then one is gone? Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I believe that's the resurrection event, not a rapture. They call it a rapture, but they've absconded with the resurrection and renamed it to verify and to give credibility to their rapture doctrine. But I say forget the rapture. Let's go with the resurrection, because I find rapture numerous times in the New Testament. But I find did I say that right? I find rapture nowhere in the New Testament, but I find resurrection numerous times. So I'm going to go with what I actually find in the Scripture. Anyway, getting back to this, my conversation with this guy, said, meanwhile, the saints will be enjoying a family of God reunion and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then, when the world will have mustered their forces to the point that they believe they can overthrow the king and his kingdom on earth, then they will be destroyed in the Battle of Armageddon. The saints do not go to heaven for 7 years. Prove me wrong. One explicit statement from the Bible to support that speculation. Find me one explicit statement in the Bible to support that speculation that the saints go to heaven for 7 years. If you cannot, and you cannot, I know you can't, not there. I would have found it if it was there. So you cannot. It is, all it is an unfounded speculation based on conjecture. That's all they have. Okay? So he says, he comes back to me, says, we will agree to disagree and remain friends. And I don't know, something about, let's just agree to disagree thing that really kind of, I don't know, kind of grates at my soul when people say that. And especially when we're talking about the Word of God and what it says. That means that one of us is in error and one of us is right, and we should be happy to leave it at that. Is that loving your neighbor? No. We should both agree that we need to find out who's right and who's wrong, or perhaps we're both wrong and we could find out what is right. But we should never agree to disagree. We should remain friends. I don't think it should be tied to one another. So I answer him, what really matters is what the Bible does or does not say. Yes, if we hold the true gospel of salvation, we should be friends. But we should never agree to disagree. We should rather search the scripture until we agree on what the scripture does or does not explicitly express, and then agree that what is only constructed upon conjecture can only be speculation. See, that's a lover of the truth. When you see that what you believe is only based on conjecture, you have to admit the truth that it is only a speculation, and it can be no more than speculation because it is expressly stated nowhere in the scripture. And I do, there are some things I conjecture out of the scripture that I believe, but I'm never going to teach them as doctrine. I've shared some of them with you. But they're not expressly stated in the scripture. So, dumb. Because we are all called to love the truth and looking for the true Holy Spirit interpretation of God's word. Because it expressly states that there should be no private interpretation. I hope you will read and prayerfully consider the above-linked PDF book. Then I would love to talk. Peace out. And he didn't delete my link that I put up there on his YouTube channel, so I'm hoping he won't. He hasn't yet. Whereas if I did it on Pete Garcia's one he has under control, it would have been deleted immediately. Yeah, can't have people reading opposition literature. People who oppose the rapture, oh my God, anathema, maranatha, be cursed until he comes. Yeah. And then go to hell after that. Whatever. These people, they don't want anyone expressing anything like that is opposed to the pre-trib rapture doctrine. They're so enamored and so committed to it because they believe a lie. They believe that all of the conflagration, beginning with the seven seals of Revelation, all the way to the seven vials, those 21 judgment events that happened throughout that chronology that covers the entire era of the Revelation from shortly come to pass in 96 AD until Christ returns. They believe all that is reserved yet for the future after Antichrist is revealed and they've been raptured to heaven for 7 years. A total fallacy. Total. most of the conflagration, most of the judgments that are included in those chronologies have already happened in history. And I believe even the seventh vial was poured out. I could be wrong. The one where the kings of the east comes could be greater. And that's what I'm saying, because I'm not willing to speculate wholly and say that I know the future. But they see, they say they do know the future, and they know their speculation is true. I'm saying that World War I and World War II seem to fulfill the pouring out of the seventh vial with the earthquake that is expressed there being the conflagration and the revolutions that happened during that period of time, along with the several other events that happened during that time that also fulfilled prophecy. That's what I'm saying. And I believe that it's more likely that that's true than not. But, however, the kings of the East could be worse. But I pray and I hope that it is not, that it's a much more limited event, primarily having to do with Western Europe, and perhaps maybe it will equal, but I'm hoping, I'm praying, because I don't like war and destruction and all that, so I'm hoping that the punishment that is due through the operation of the kings of the East is not worse. I'm hoping that it's far less tempestuous of a judgment than was the period encompassing World War I and World War II. That's all I can say. And I'm sure that all of you hope and pray with me the same thing, that we do not have a worse conflagration than that era of the last century. Anybody say amen to that? Because that is a prayer. But like I'm saying, it could be wrong. I could be wrong. The kings of the East and whatever they unleash could be worse. I'm going to tell you, the potential is definitely there, but then there's that other thing that has to happen, which seems to temper it, and that is the judgment of the great whore by the ten-horned beast power. By the ten horns of the beast. They have to be in some kind of shape, or they might come along afterwards. Because it seems to me, if the kings of the East judgment is going to be worse than what we experienced in the World War I, World War II era, that the ten nations of Western Europe would have no energy, and that it would be more likely that the destruction would come from the kings of the East rather than the ten horns. What do you think? Am I making any sense here, anybody? Comments? Questions? Anybody thinking this out with me? Anybody thinking along the same lines as me? Am I all alone out here? Sometimes I feel all alone out here. Even my fellow Protestant historicists are still scratching their head over the things I'm saying. Okay. Well, that's it. I don't know what else to say about it all. Be sure to share this broadcast, like, share, give money. You know, no one's given us any money on Rumble, and they're giving it away without a fee until the end of this year. So if you give on Rumble, 100% goes. They'll write a check when it becomes a certain amount to First Amendment Radio. 100% of it goes. So giving on Rumble is the best way to give. Or you can mail, because they're going to mail us a check. We have got no money from Rumble yet in a year and whatever from any of the listeners on Rumble. Through Rumble. I'm sure that some people have given, but not through Rumble. But we do have a give page on our Mobi app. And also you can go online if you want to give through PayPal. Because our PayPal account is not our account, but it's a trust account that funds First Amendment Radio. So it's not identified with First Amendment Radio. Otherwise, they probably already would have cut it off. So I'm guessing. I don't know. Or maybe they're not that worried about us. But enough said about that. Or our address is both on the Mobi app and on our website app on firstamendmentradio.net/support or .net or .com/support. And you can mail us a check, money order, gold, silver, a deed to properties, whatever, accounts, whatever, any way you want to give, any way the Spirit tells you to give. We got a lot of work to do here in these last days, and we would like to be doing it as long as we can. I will do it till the day I die. I'm in my 70th year now, and I am nowhere near retiring. Like I said, I'll retire when they put my body in a hole in the ground. That's when I'll retire. Because I got another 1,000 years of work to do after this. Of course, we're going to take a 7-year vacation. If my posit is correct, that an agreement with a 7-year period between the return of Christ, whenever he gathers us from the four winds, with those that are risen from the dead and those that are changed who are still remain on the ground, to join him in the air and to join him when he comes back, not to go to heaven for 7 years, then come back, but to join him on this earth here. Yes. And to fulfill the prophecy and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I believe 7 years, that'll be adequate for the family reunion or the reunion of the first, for the first time of the full family of God. It will be a reunion like the world has never seen, because it will be all of the elect from all time, from Adam and Eve to the patriarchs, to King David and his son Solomon, and many other imperfect men who have relied upon God. And yes, Job, who said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth," he will be there too. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, you name it. Whoever you can think of. My sister will be there. I hope my father, my mother, my son will be there. All those who have passed on before us will be there. And it will be 7 years that seems like it should be the least amount of time that we need to take care of family business and have a marriage supper of the Lamb here on the earth for the world to see. Let them watch. Yeah. And I believe that will change all of those Israelis over there that have been taught lies about who Jesus is. When they see it, they will long for it. There will be such a jealousy in their hearts that they will not be able to resist, many of them. But many of them will always resist, because there will always be those who will resist. Because the Israel of today is not the chosen people of God. God's chosen people are the elect of all time. Whether Jew, because there's no difference between Jew and Greek, take Paul's word for it. I believe he was speaking for God, don't you? If he says there's no difference between Jew or Greek, yeah, then that means there's no difference. If we are grafted in, then we are part of the root that we're grafted into. We are branch and leaf and everything of that tree. We are grafted in by the blood of Christ, like nothing else could graft us in. And we are one in Christ. And the church and the millennial reign, all of it, is the fulfillment of every promise with Jesus and everything that follows is the promise and fulfillment of every promise ever made by God to Adam and Eve, the patriarchs, and all of Israel is fulfilled in Christ. There's no separate plan of salvation. There's no separate 70th week for the Jews. Yes, many of them will be there when Christ and his saints appear. in the air and come back to the earth. And they will be jealous with a jealousy like they've never experienced before when they see it. But it will be a good thing. Your name and where are you calling from? Silence. Well, I got a few minutes. Anyone wants to call in, you can Skype me at Nicholas Arthur, and I think I can bring you on. or you can call me on that phone there and answer, have a question or comment, anything, please. WW says, me scratch his head. Is the remaining guy newly resurrected and right at that moment? The remaining guy. Oh, the people that remain on the earth who are changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, that join the resurrected dead, and then it says that they are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Yeah. Yeah, we're right at that moment. At that moment, we will have our forever bodies like Christ has. We will have the desire of our heart to, along with all of the benefits of never being sick, never being ill, never having infirmity again. Everything will be healed. We will never die again. The second death will have no power over us. We will never even be tempted to sin, because here is the mark. You want the mark of God? The mark of every true believer is a desire that they could never even be tempted to sin and offend God again. Even in my mortal flesh, I want that. I wish if I could take an eraser like a hard drive, like my brain were a hard drive, and I could erase that folder where there was remembrance of all sin and remembrance of all temptation, and I could erase that so I would never be tempted and never sin again in the rest of my mortal life, I would do that, because that's the true desire of my heart. But I know that God has not granted that now, and I still have to struggle with my flesh. But God promises that he will keep me from the evil one. And he does, even though I still have to struggle with my flesh and with temptation, because I cannot earn it. I can never be good enough to merit heaven. And we need to be humbled. Otherwise, we fall. And I accept that. But what does happen is that we get better and better, and we are conformed more and more to the image of his only son of God every day that we lived. We become more like him. We are in the process of being perfected continuously until the day when we rise and he makes us perfect. After that, we will never even be tempted again, because that is the true desire of our heart. That is the mark of God, that we truly have the desire to never sin again. I don't want to sin ever again. That will be granted, but it will be granted in the resurrection. Sad to say, we will sin again. But be of good cheer. What did Jesus say? He has overcome the world, and we are overcomers in him because of his blood. So yes, come to Christ. If he calls, if you are the elect, you will allow his Holy Spirit to work in you the work of repentance. And it is an ongoing work that continues until the day that your body, your temporal existence comes to an end and gives up the ghost, the spirit, and we go to be with Christ in the resurrection. That's the next event after this planet. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. I hope you all been edified and entertained, perhaps, and received the truth of God's word and a better interpretation than you could get anywhere else. And if you have a better one, please advise me. I'm always looking for the truth, even if I have to lay down what I've held before. That's what it's all about. Need your support here at First Amendment Radio. So if you want to support Prophecy Reality, support First Amendment Radio. That's where all of it goes, because First Amendment Radio is my tent-making ministry, okay? It's like Paul made tents to support his own ministry. So First Amendment Radio is my work to support my own ministry, and I do. And you can add your labor to ours over here by sending the product of your labor in whatever form the Lord would have you send it. And I'm not going to worry about it too much, because if you're obedient to God, then you will do what he says, and you will continue to support us as long as he would have you continue to support us. And if he has you supporting someplace else, and he hasn't told you to change that support, but you should always consider what you're supporting and look at it to be a good steward. And perhaps you might decide that what you're supporting, maybe like if you're supporting a rapture ministry, you should stop doing that and support True Prophecy. Yeah. And if you don't have the money to support us, you can share. You can spread the free ebook, the Abraham Accord Rapture PDF around. Give it to people. Share these videos. Share First Amendment Radio. Listen to it throughout the day. Send it to everybody on your phone list, on your smartphone, whatever it takes, whatever you can do. Pray for us. You can always do that. And if you think you're wrong, pray for us to be right. Pray for God to illumine us and you at the same time, that we all come to the knowledge and truth and see a true Holy Spirit interpretation of every part of God's Word, whether prophecy, whether edification, whether the Gospels, whether the Old Testament, New Testament, no matter what, we all need to see clearer than we see now. And we always can. It's a continual, it's a wonderful feast to me, because I see more all the time. I don't have breakthroughs and, you know, new stuff every day, but if you persist, you know, God will nourish you and you'll grow in the faith and you will be conformed to his Son. And occasionally, you'll get breakthroughs that you can even share with others, as I do occasionally here. Let's see. I still can't get stinky mortals in better resurrection conflict. I may convert you someday. Well, you better get to work then, WW. Because I'm way ahead of you on the study and the exposition of my belief. So you got a long way to go to convince me otherwise. Well, there's my exit tone. Okay, I want to thank you all for showing up today. I really appreciate you all and look forward to hearing from you anytime. Please go to my blog at nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. And be sure to subscribe there. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you walk.